In 2011, I had the privilege of traveling to India to go and do a week on the poor and to teach on the doctrine of the poor. And I had the absolute pleasure of meeting Franco, Sweetin, and their three boys. And from that day, I not only discovered the most wonderful gift in God, but a very, very dear friend. Franco has grown so much over the years, and I've tried to think of a word to describe him, and I think the word that I would use for both he and Sweetin is the word integrity. They not only lead a fabulous church called One Nation, but oversee a growing number of churches. I'm not sure how many we're planting in India this year. I think it's probably 11. Oh, I was going to say 9. 11 new churches in India. But Franco also, in his spare time, runs a very successful company and then serves a lot of us on our global team. And so I just thought I'd pop up here and highly commend Franco Lonapan to you this afternoon. Thank you for being with us. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for the privilege of going to the ends of the earth. And Lord, I thank you that even as we do that, we make the most wonderful friends. Friends who become family, friends whose families become family. Yes. And Lord, I bless you for this man and the work of his hands, Lord, the strength of his heart to carry all he carries. Now, Lord, as he opens the word, would you speak to us deeply, Lord, and shape us this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him another big welcome. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Thank you for your welcome. It looks like I brought the weather with me. In Mumbai, it's 40, I think it's more than 40 degrees. And I'm sweating here. I thought it'll be a good weather here. Thank you. It's been wonderful. This afternoon, I want to share on a topic of perseverance. We just heard this morning on work. And I want to share on perseverance. So if you have your Bible, open with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. I've been to many church camps, and I thought those were church camps until I came here and how you all did the camping and the, you know, all those things. And I said, oh, I've been to many conferences, not church camps. So greetings from One Nation, Mumbai, and the regions beyond churches. And this morning I had the privilege of having my wife with me and my two sons. My eldest son is going to join us next weekend. It's been a battle for us in coming here, making this trip possible. Just 2 days before we could fly out from Mumbai, my wife, Sweetin, had a fall, and she kind of broke her rib. There's a hairline fracture, and we almost canceled our trip and says, no, I don't think we can make it. We've been to the doctor a few times, and he says, nothing can be done. You can just take painkillers, and maybe in 3 weeks' time, she will be all right. So we said, we'll come. And, you know, it has been a time of persevering, and that's my topic this morning, this afternoon. And I always, in the last 7 years, preach with translators. So if you find a gap between sentences, you know why there is a bit of a gap or a pause. Call on us as Christians and leaders of the churches and church movement is to persevere. We are here for a long haul. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I think that's what Trevor opened his sermon with. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. C.H. Spurgeon said about perseverance, the faithfulness of God is the foundation and the cornerstone of our final hope of perseverance. The saint shall persevere in holiness because God perseveres in his grace. He perseveres to bless, and therefore believers persevere in being blessed. My journey as a Christian leader, like probably many of you, has been one of perseverance. 32 years, many times I felt like giving up and quit. But God came through every time I felt like giving up. When we read the books written by successful church leaders, it is often about strategies, success stories, and how to have a big mega church, etc. But very few write about their disappointment, their failures, times of betrayal, despairing of life. But praise God for this book. I don't think we would find a book more real than this book. So this afternoon, I want to take you to a story in the Bible, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, the life of Elijah. He suddenly appears from nowhere to confront a wicked king called Ahab. He prophesies that there is not going to be any rain or dew for next few years except at his word. Then he disappears for 3 years. Next 3 years, there was no rain or dew. Then he returns to confront the prophets of Baal. God comes down by fire and proves that he is the true God. 450 prophets of Baal has been slaughtered. God hears the prayer of Elijah and he sends the rain. Revival in Israel. Something anyone here would not want to miss for the world. But something happens to Elijah. So let's just read from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 onwards. And I just want to unpack a bit. Verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he has killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it so ever so severely, by this time tomorrow I do not make your life that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, the angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and a powerful wind tore and the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, and the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. After that fire came a gentle whisper. Hallelujah for the gentle whisper. And Elijah heard it and he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been zealous, very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. Now they are trying to kill me too." He just repeated the same answer. Then the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Mehalah, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, and all those knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him." Elijah was a hero of Israel a few days before this event took place in his life. He was a national revivalist, a giant slayer. He put 450 prophets of Baal to death. He brought transformation to the nation of Israel. We would all like to have someone like Elijah in our churches and in our movement. Someone who had so much of faith to bring down the fire of God to consume the offering. Someone who could confront the worldly system in his time. But something happens to this man of God. After seeing such amazing power of God, he wants to give up on his ministry. He wants to die, asking God to take his life. He seems to become disillusioned and have lost hope. He has started going down the path of grumbling and self-righteousness. He seems to be kind of hurt, resentful, and bitter. Ends up in a cave, away from his call, away from God, away from people. We live in a time where perseverance seems to be a rare thing. Consumerism has taken over. And emotional maturity is something we don't talk much about. Dave Devnish said this recently. If we want to reach the world for Jesus, we must encourage our churches, encourage in our churches a culture of emotional intelligence, a culture of discipling, not consumerism, a culture of perseverance and suffering. And I want to add to that, especially if we want to reach the developing nations. And I think if Donna was here, you would have said amen. Because suffering is more real in many ways. The call on us is to persevere. We are here for a long haul. We are called to endure hardships like a good soldier. Peter, the end of his life in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 and 6, this is what he says. He says, "Make every effort to add to your faith." And he goes on to share almost 8 virtues, and one of them is perseverance. He says, add to faith goodness, goodness to knowledge perseverance, to perseverance self-control, to self-control godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Bible is very honest about men of God, women of God who wanted to give up. The other day I was reading the book of Jonah, and here is Jonah at the peak of his ministry. In Nineveh, he preaches, and 120,000 people turned to God. They repented. They put their trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in chapter 3, it says, Jonah was praying to God, "It's no use living. Take my life. I want to die. Not just once, not just twice, but 3 times." He says, "Take my life." We read many of the characters, great men of God we admire, cursing the day they were born, asking God, says, God, enough. I have had enough. The Facebook, the Twitter, the social media will not reveal this. But, you know, deep down in your guts, there's a feeling of failure. The amazing thing about God, that He does not leave us there. He didn't leave Elijah there. And today He doesn't want to leave us there. The story of Elijah is one of victory. God coming through for him. He didn't know it. He couldn't see it. But the truth of the story is ending up in victory. Today, this afternoon, I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, your story is going to end up in victory. Hallelujah. You don't need to remain where you are. You don't need to remain in your caves. God wants to call destiny out of you. We are here to reach the nation. We are here for Him. We are here for one another. We are here for the nations. Hallelujah. How do I know this? One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Jude 23 and 24. It says, now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before the Father with exceeding joy, to Him be glory. Hallelujah. He will present you blameless. He will keep you from falling. Your story is a story of victory. Our story is a story of victory. He is able to keep you. It's all about Him. It's all by Him. It's all through Him. And it's all for Him. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to love Jesus and to sing about Him? The unending song. Wow. He's so kind. He's so good. What can we learn from this story? I just have half an hour. I just have 6 points and I want to just share a few thoughts with you. Number one, face your fears. Elijah was afraid of his life, or he was afraid and ran for his life. He was afraid of losing his life. God had to come and say to him, go back the way you came. Face your fears, because I have not finished with you. And if you look at the life of Elijah, the message that come through his life or from his life is that he didn't face death. The very thing that he was afraid to lose, he didn't lose it. God took him. Hallelujah. God said, I'm so pleased with you. I want to take you with me to heaven. The very thing that we think that we are losing, I want to say that the very thing that God will restore to you. He prayed, God, I want to die. God said, you want to die? Your life has only begun. Matter of fact, I'm going to take you to heaven and you won't taste death. Praise God. No one goes into battle without knowing who their enemy is and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil scheme. Elijah was prepared for the Sunday, but he was not prepared for the Monday. He was prepared for the pulpit, but he was not prepared for the home. He was prepared for the mountain, but he was not prepared for the valley. What we heard this morning about work, going back on Monday. Says in verse 2, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it so ever so severely. If by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that one of them. Elijah received a personal threat from Jezebel, the spirit of control working through her. He released the powers of hell through witchcraft. The spirit released fear. We have an enemy, and he will use any means to defeat us. But praise be to God who gives us victory. He will use the spirit of control to render us powerless at times, but we need to stand firm. Elijah didn't know what has hit him. There are times you don't know what hits you. And God's message for you is, what are you doing here? I have not given you this fear. I have not given you the spirit of fear. Rick Warren says, fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends you to be. You must move against it with the weapons of faith and love. This battle is real, and God fights our battles. Last year has been a very difficult year for us as a family. Severe opposition, demonic stuff. Every time I came out from a high, things would hit me so badly. Are you battling with forces that you have no clue of? Causing you to be fearful, discouraged, wanting to quit? There are many people in our churches who are in that place. I come from a nation, probably majority of the people have given up on life. They just survive. That's our mission field, regions beyond. There are people out there given into fear, given upon the things of God, and we got to be strong and courageous to go and to strengthen them. Plant churches, reach the nation. Know your enemy and stand firm and face him. Secondly, what can we learn? Discerning the voice of God. Elijah discerned the voice of God. There was earthquake, there was fire, there was wind. If I was there, I would have been singing, hallelujah, wow, there's fire, there's earthquake, there's wind. But God was not in it. And there was a gentle whisper, and God was in it. And Elijah recognized it. He didn't stop looking to God, and God came through for him. Even when he prayed, you know, his second nature was prayer and seeking God. And even when he prayed the wrong prayers, God didn't take him seriously. Thank God, sometimes God doesn't take us seriously. Because he looks at our hearts. He doesn't look at our outward appearance and even some of our words that we speak or we say. He sees our hearts and he sees, I can see pain. I can see weakness in fighting the enemy. And he says, I'll come through for you. And I will restore you. Hallelujah. Perseverance releases supernatural strength. When you think you are at your weakest, and when the end is nearing, you find strength because God is with you. He gives strength in strange ways. Things start happening with you and around you. Even things might defy logic. Supernatural provision of God, of money, favor, impossible things becoming possible because God is with you. Hallelujah. Amen. He discerned the voice of God. Recently, I was spending time with a man of God, and he said, today, the gift of discernment is a rare thing in the church. Because of that, there is so much of heartache. There's so much of pain. in relationship. We need to recognize and discern God's voice. In our difficult times, we hear lots of voices, don't we? We forget our call, we forget our promises that God has given. It is very important to discern the voice of God and not hear what we want to hear, no matter how dramatic and exciting it may sound, but just that gentle voice that reassures what He is up to for our lives. Jesus, His voice alone brings us fresh hope. Jesus alone will satisfy the longing in our hearts. The only thing that brought Him back to life and to His ministry is that voice of God. He alone is our anchor. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. His voice brings life. And we need to pray, God, help us to discern Your voice from other voices. Thirdly, emotional maturity. I reckon that Elijah was not emotionally strong enough to handle this alone. I want to be careful what I'm saying here. Elijah was a great man of God. But the book of James says Elijah was a man just like us. Amen? Say to the person next to you, Elijah was a man just like us. He was a man just like us. He struggled in his emotions. Take my life, he said. I'm no better than my ancestors. You know, he was comparing himself with his ancestors. I'm not good enough. I had enough, Lord. I've been very zealous for you. I'm the only one left. There's unhealthy comparison there. When we lose focus on our identity in Christ, we are in trouble. God has to ask Elisha a few times, what are you doing here? You're not meant to be here. Your identity is in me. I am the one who has chosen you. Go back the way you came. When you get there, I will lead you. Jonah wasn't emotionally healthy. Peter, the great apostle, we see him going up and down. But when we look at his epistles, we see a man who is strong, emotionally strong. Peter Scassero argues in his book, Emotionally Healthy Leader and Emotionally Healthy Church. This is what he says. It's impossible for a Christian to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. He continued to argue that the link between emotional health and spiritual maturity is a large, unexplored area of discipleship. This revolutionary paradigm that emotional health and spiritual maturity is inseparable. I want to promote these two books. This has helped me in the last 1 year. There are some books available at the bookstall. It's a wonderful book. I wish I found this few years back. In Ephesians 4, our call says some, you know, Christ who ascended on high, He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. It's not only speaking about spiritual maturity, He is speaking about maturity, you know, as a whole. And I believe as regions beyond churches, we need to invest in men and women who become emotionally mature to lead people, lead churches, do the things that God has called us to do in our generation. This is the, I'm speaking from our Indian context. It's the need of the hour as we reach the poorer nations for Jesus. I can say for myself, I was emotionally a child until I came across people like Steve and others. And I can say I've grown in the last 7 years. When Steve asked my wife, you know, how's things been? And this is what he said. What she said, he says, I got my husband back. It's something that we need to look at afresh. Fourthly, the teamwork. Trevor said individuals may win matches, but it takes a team to win tournaments. The first thing Elijah did after his encounter with God is to go and find Elisha. Elijah was one man, army. He preferred isolation. And God was saying to Elijah, he says, you need others around you to help you, to encourage you, and also impart what you have received into others. Brothers and sisters, we are not called for isolation. Alone we can do so little. Together we can do much. We are called to be part of this beautiful bride which consists of other gifts of men and women. Mark DuPont mentioned about the movie called Dunkirk, The Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things. I think that's the time that we are entering into. Elijah was commissioned by God to anoint three men. You know something about these three men? Haziel, Jehu, and Elisha. They were ordinary men. They didn't come from a royal family. And it was deliberate. God says, go and anoint these men. They are ordinary men who will do extraordinary things for me. First Corinthians 1 verse 26 says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standard. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world. You know the scripture. God chose the lowly things, the weak things, the despised things, things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Times of great gifts working to bring great impact is changing. The ordinary people like you and me working in teams to bring greater impact. One of the movies I enjoyed recently is called The Greatest Showman. How many of you have seen that movie? It's a lovely movie. In one of the quotes, it says, no one ever made a difference by being like everyone else. The song, it says, I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I am meant to be. This is me. One thing is to have a team, but yet another to have diversity in it. The less fortunate one in there. The first preach that impacted me when Steve came to India, as he mentioned, he came to do a conference on the poor. And he preached from Psalm 113, am I right? 113. He spoke about you know, raising the poor from the ash heap and making them to sit with princes. That's our call. We are here to embrace diversity, nations of different colors, different language, different people smell differently. Yeah? I'm speaking because I'm an Indian. Acts 13, the first few verses, speaks about eldership team, diverse people, different nationalities. We are here to tell those who don't qualify in the eyes of the world that you can be qualified, because our God is a God of diversity. In Revelation, it speaks about multitudes from every nation, every tribe, every language. We all will be there. Hallelujah. Church is the greatest showmanship ever displayed in history. And we've got to look at our teams. What the teams of apostles, the prophets, it's teams. And it's such a joy to see Steve and Ray joined together and working together and laying down their whatever the names or whatever. It's to glorify God. And that's what it's going to be in the days to come. Spheres within spheres and whatnot. Because it's all about the gospel reaching the nation for Jesus. Fifthly, a multi-generational call. This is fusion. We are in Fusion 2018. Elijah couldn't think of his ministry. I mean, could only think of his ministry, how successful he was or how big failure he was. And God had to remind Elijah about the next generation. And he says, you know, God says, go back the way you came, and you go, when you get there, anoint Hazael, anoint Jehu, anoint Elisha. You think it is over? It's only begun, because I am thinking of the next generation, the generations to come. You are yet to anoint kings, you are yet to raise up prophets, and you are saying, you know, let me die. I have not finished with you. I'm going to take you home with me when you finish these things. Jesus began his ministry by appointing those who will take on his ministry. I believe there's a call on us as Regions Beyond Churches to embrace this multi-generational call. Amen. And in India, I was just looking at the leadership. Those who are leading churches and those who are, you know, assisting, or those who are in the teams, leadership teams. And I realize there's not many in the age group of, in their 40s, you know, late 30s to up to 50. We missed one generation because of whatever we went through. We can't miss generations. We are here to impact. We are here to put 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, to become a reality, a call of multi-generational impact. Finally, there was a recommissioning. Elijah was willing to be commissioned again by God. This conference is about calling out destiny in some people. Elijah wanted to quit halfway through his ministry. And God says, no, I have much more for you. Many Christians don't finish well. Many Christian leaders, one of the surveys says, one out of 9 Christian leaders don't finish well. Or one out of 9 leaders only finish well. That's an American survey. We need to be recommissioned for the purposes of God. Elijah heard God's word. God calls him out of the cave. It is time to come out of the cave. What are you doing here, doing there? You think it is over? It has only begun for you. Go back the way you came. Face your fears as you get there. When you overcome your fears, I will open doors. Are you in that place? Have you stopped fighting the good fight of faith? Are you in a cave? And this afternoon, God wants to call our destiny. For London planting? I don't think God is finished. Maybe one more session. God wants to impress on some of our hearts, it says, that's vital. Church planting, mission opportunities, going to different nations. If anybody wants to come to India, please come and meet me. God is calling our destiny. We don't know the days ahead of us. Persecution, religious intolerance are increasing in many lands, and especially in our land. We are in a unique time in history. And God is saying, it's not time for us to be in a cave. It's time for us to rise up and blow the trumpet. The word for you today is persevere. James chapter 1 verse 12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Don't give up on the purposes, the promises that he has given you. If you have prayed the wrong prayers today, this afternoon you can repent. If you have lost hope, God wants to give you hope. Are you disillusioned with things that it's beyond help or counsel? Are you grumbling? There's time for you to hear the voice of God these days. I have been there. Elijah has been there. Moses, you know, you name it, there are many. God has not given upon us. God wants to come back to. God wants you to come back to him. And God wants us to face our fears, because he is with us. And he wants to do amazing, amazing, wonderful things in our lives. And this afternoon, the Spirit is here. Hallelujah. It says in Romans chapter 5. It says, not only so, we also glory in our suffering. Because we know the suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The Holy Spirit is here. I believe God wants us to take advantage of him. If you are in the place of Elijah, God wants to call you out from that cave, and he wants to put destiny in you. He wants to commission you. He wants to recommission you. You have been commissioned, but he wants to recommission you. And to say, I have nations in my heart. I have people groups, as we heard, 7,112 or 7,012 people groups that never heard the name of Jesus. Who will go and tell them? Who will be his mouthpiece to speak the name of Jesus if it's not us? If it is not us who have been so lavishly blessed by God? And this afternoon, I believe there's one more session this evening as we come to worship. I believe God wants to recommission some of us and say, I have big plans for regions beyond. 29 nations, there are many nations still waiting. There are many leaders whose heads are down, who are in a cave, who have given up. And I believe God is commissioning us to say, there's people out there and I'm giving you the grace to go. Borders beyond, as Marx puts it. To go and do what God has called us to do. Can we just close our eyes? And I want to call Steve if he can come. Just. Father God, we thank you. You're such an amazing God, Lord. You're such a God who has been so gracious to us, Lord. Even when we turn our face and even when we think of quitting, you come. Even when we make a wrong prayer, you overlook those prayers and you come. And you come and put destiny, Lord God. You come and call us again, recommission us, Lord God. And we thank you for these few days, Lord God. We are here. You have great plans for us, and we pray that you will raise up men and women, Lord, who will not give up, but give in for your purposes, Lord. Who will not quit, Lord, but who will throw themselves into the purposes of God and go and win people for Jesus, go and win communities for Christ, who are going, Lord, transform nations for your glory, Lord. We ask you to come upon us, pour your Spirit upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name.